Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you that we may be wholly yours, now and forever. Amen. Change. It's all about change, isn't it? I read an extraordinary book by Octavia Butler called Parable of the Sower. It was written in 1993, but set way in the future, in 2024. In a time when civilization had broken down, when people struggled in small, barricaded enclaves. Lauren Oya Alamina is the teenage narrator, journal writer of the book. She knows that she is to begin a new people, and she calls what it will be Earth Seed. And she describes her God this way: all that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. We so often resist change, or at least we say we do. We say, don't change a thing, or I like it just the way it was, or we don't do it that way, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's especially hard, I think, as we age, not to fall into lament. Everything is changing. Nothing is what it used to be. I don't know this world anymore. Change feels bad, wrong. It disrupts everything I believe, everything I thought I knew, and it's painful. But then we also say, I cannot wait to get a change of scenery, or the change will do her good, or I feel a change coming, I don't know what will happen, or this is such a change for the better, and it's exciting. Change is both painful and exciting. The church seasons change today. Here beginneth what is called ordinary time. And the color for ordinary time is green, glorious green, earth green, growing green, creation green, and for some of us, Irish green. As you might guess, there is some dispute among denominations about when it actually starts and what it is to be called. But the point of ordinary time is growing. And growing changes us. Growing deeper in our faith. Growing deeper in our understanding. Growing deeper in our love. And these banners with the patterns on them, they reflect the movement of growth. We have 6 long months of green. The Altar Guild gets a bit of a break. After such intense times as Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, and Pentecost, woo! 6 months to allow ourselves to be greened. Yesterday, 7 ordinary people did an extraordinary thing. They publicly gave their lives to God. They lay face down on the floor and promised to love, serve, obey, to pattern their lives in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ, to be guided by the bishop, to serve all others in need, to be faithful in prayer and study, seeking not their own glory, but the glory of the Lord Christ. And then they were ordained into what is called the transitional diaconate. In January, they will be ordained again as priests. Vestments were placed on them, prayers were said over them, family and friends helped to present them, and we clapped for them. Truth be known, we cheered for them. And they have been changed, ushered into a new life, transformed by God into more of what they are, more of what they are called to be. Next year at this time, with God's help and your prayers, I will be face down on the floor making those vows about which I have no words. But the thing about transformation is that most of the time it isn't that dramatic. The truth is that changes in us evolve, and we often don't notice right away. God works under the radar as we bumble along, molding us, shaping us into more of who we are, of what we are called to be. Now, I have had the benefit of a lay committee here at St. Francis to help me, support me, pray with me, and share with me what they have noticed about my changing. I think everyone should have a lay committee, because we all need God talk to notice and help us through changes. After the ordination yesterday, I drove to Encino to attend a friend's graduation from Still Point, where she received a certificate to be a spiritual director. Reverend Elizabeth Rector, the executive director of Still Point, spoke, and she spoke about the need we all have for spiritual companions, and that the word companion literally means with bread. I had forgotten that, if I ever knew it. We companion one another as we break bread together. We companion one another here at St. Francis. We companion one another as we grow and change. We hear from this pulpit, however, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is moving in us. The Holy Spirit is moving in us. God is always moving. But we tend to put God in a box, to tie God down, to make God static, to calcify God. Maybe we do that so that we can flatter ourselves to think we can make God what we want God to be. But moving does not mean that God changes. All that movement changes us. Magnificent, cosmic, galactic, Creator God, that God is always moving, always creating, all the time, everywhere. We change, God does not. We respond, we move, we choose, we change. God liberates us from our limits, from our need to tie God down and put God in a box. I think the gospel stories we heard today say something about the difference between a God that moves and a God in a box. They are the last two in a series of five stories that Raquel Lettesum describes as following Jesus beyond the boundaries. Beyond the boundaries of law, political power, and tradition. Beyond the box. In the first story, the disciples are hungry, and they snap the solid heads off grain stalks, and they rub them between their hands, which releases the grains so they can eat them. To the Pharisees, this transformation of the heads of stalks to the particles of grain amounts to threshing, and threshing was forbidden on the Sabbath. God is in a box, no room for anything else. Threshing, what a fabulous metaphor for transformation. The crushing up of a solid mass, the rubbing together, the heat generated, or with a threshing machine, the blades that cut and separate, and the flying out of particles only to be caught and shaken and separated to be transformed into something new, used in a new way, the way God uses us. Now, there are many ways to think about our need for change and many ways to be inspired to embrace change without fear. Every Sunday, I get to experience each sermon twice, and I continue to learn. Now, Peter might help encourage this process of change by sharing a lyric or a poem or a beautiful or meaningful experience to help us understand and not be afraid. Paula loves props, in case you hadn't noticed. And she might bring in some pruning shears, perhaps, and three plants that have all been shaped in different ways. I think I would be less lovely. I think I would bring in a rolling pin and a ball of dough, and I would attack it, and I would smack it down and roll it out and reshape it into something new, hopefully something life-giving. That's pretty much how seminary has felt this year. Smacked down, rolled out, and reshaped. Many of you, indeed, most of you, have also had a challenging year. Smacked down, rolled out, and reshaped. And yet, in our truest, most honest selves, we look back and we see Jesus breaking the boundaries, changing us. God has never been in a box. In the second gospel story, Jesus is more pointed. His enemies wait. Will he or won't he heal on the Sabbath? Jesus goes right for it, and he asks the Pharisees a checkmate question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or kill? Those are the options. Pick one. The Pharisees are silent. Jesus wins. But there's no triumph there. Jesus looks at them angry, aching at their hardness of hearts to have so misunderstood and so abused God's gift of the Sabbath, God's gift to humans to be human, to rest in God's love. They have refused the gift. And so Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand, heal, reach, grow into your fullness, grow into new life, change. This is God's purpose. This is what matters. On Pentecost, Paula helped us to feel the Holy Spirit everywhere around us, to see it in the wind that carries kites aloft. We are to hold on, but not too tightly, to allow the string to unravel as God would have it. And then Peter asked us last week what we plan to do with our one wild and precious life, because God's not done with us. And God's love calls us to more. So it seems to me that an ordinary time is the perfect time to turn our faces to the sun and to go deeper in our faith and our lives, perhaps take time to nurture a spiritual companion, and to welcome change as a path to grow nearer to God. Today ends my first year as an intern here at St. Francis. I will be back in the fall, but in a more limited capacity. I have loved every minute of my time here. You have welcomed me. You shared with me. It was okay that I fell out of the pulpit and broke my foot. It was okay that I wept through an entire Taizé service. I have been trusted to preach and teach and be a verger, even though I had no idea what a verger was until I got here, and I'm still not sure. And you have helped me to believe that this burning desire I have to be a priest is as real as I thought it was, as I hoped it was. So I take issue with Lauren Oya Alamina when she declares that God is change. God is not change. We are the change God makes. We are all in motion, no matter how old we are. Our souls are greening and growing toward one another all the time. Amen.